FPC. This is Jake. Welcome to this week's Midweek Elder Encouragement. I'm here with Pastor Brandon, and the two of us are going to discuss this week's fighter verse, which is the completion of this passage that we've been working through in Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of God. So today we're talking about verses 16 through 18, and Pastor Brandon's going to read that for us.
In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Well, it's good to remind us of one of the things, simple observations we made at the beginning of walking through this passage a few weeks back, which is that we are reminded again that we are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, and God means for us to be fully decked out and prepared and furnished and ready to face the battle, to be able to withstand, to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We have this ancient foe that is focused on our destruction, and he does not seem to rest, and he has been at this for a very long time, and he's an invisible enemy, which makes it very difficult to defend ourselves, which is why we are not to, in a sense, rely on ourselves in defense against him, but we are to put on the whole armor of God, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So I just strike that note for us by way of reminder at the beginning that we don't want to be self-reliant. We are sitting ducks if we are trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. We desperately need God to be our defense.
It's interesting that you say that, because that makes me look at these different items in a new way. You know, even the shield of faith. Well, the shield of faith is that's not even something that's our doing, you know, but it's faith in God acting on our behalf, you know, and these other things like the breastplate of righteousness, which again is ours through faith, that is not our own doing. That's interesting. I haven't thought about that before, that even these items are descriptions of us relying on God to work through us.
And it does actually seem fitting. I'm kind of cheating and going to the end of the text here, but when it says taking up the sword of the Spirit, praying at all times in the Spirit, I think that's what it means by in the Spirit, is like dependently on the Spirit. Looking to the Spirit, even in how we pray and the power to pray and what to pray. And so there is just laced throughout the entire passage, just this call to depend on God. And I think we do feel safest in the Christian life. And we are, in fact, safest when we're depending on the Lord for everything. And I think you're right on there. I think one of the brothers was saying this morning, are we pushing the text too hard if we're, you know, okay, the helmet, like what's the helmet all about? And it's like, well, it could have just said, you know, the armor and not, you know, gone to specific details. So I think there is something about the individual pieces, but all of them are in some ways saying a similar thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with the gospel protection, like what Christ has done for us ends up being our greatest protection.
Yeah, and in starting off in verse 16, in all circumstances, taking up the shield of faith. And I think, you know, we can apply that to all these things. In all circumstances, taking them up, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So just, again, that recognition, like you said, that we're in a spiritual war. And not only that, but these flaming darts of the evil one will be coming at us in all circumstances. And so being aware of that and just not... Yeah, just not being lulled to sleep, you know, in a sense that these things don't happen, that there's not actually a spiritual battle going around.
Yeah, they're coming all the time. Yes, it's not like Satan's waiting around like for a convenient time for us. You know, he's going to do it when it's a convenient time for him, when he thinks it's going to be most strategic. And so we cannot let up. And yeah, how important the shield of faith is. And you might ask the question like, well, faith in what? And I think immediately of like the promises of God that we have, like one that I have on my wall, thanks to a dear brother and sister in the church that gave this as a gift to me. But my one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be discouraged. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. So even a promise like that, you know, when you're starting to sink down in a day, to be able to just grab on to a very concrete promise and mm-hmm. take God at his word. You promise to help me. Mm-hmm. You promise to strengthen me. You promise to uphold me. So I think that's part of what that shield of faith is about, just clinging to promises of God that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and be able to refute all the lies of the liar, mm-hmm. you know, all mm-hmm. these things that we're tempted to believe. And when we have faith in God's promises, we say, I know what God has promised, and I know that it'll be true.
Mm. Now, you don't over-push the analogy, you know, but like, they talk about, like, being able to, like, back in the day, like submerge or immerse a shield, like a leather shield, thick leather shield, like, in water. And so, like, you actually have these flaming darts, and they can actually be extinguished upon impact.
Mm-hmm.
But just that idea, like, how God's, you know, we're not reliant on that explanation, but just that idea of, we know from experience, like, when we cling to a truth from God's word, up against a lie from the enemy that's starting to be whispered in our ears, and we are willing to stay there and wrestle it down, it's amazing how they do get extinguished.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't just happen automatically just by us being Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually have to take up the armor. We have to lift up the shield.
Right.
Probably a good reminder for us today is, like, we don't want to walk around mm-hmm. without a shield, with these flaming darts
mm-hmm.
coming over our heads,
mm-hmm.
raining down on us.
Right. And that brings us into the helmet of salvation. And I hadn't thought about, like, the specific armor, if it means something, until you just mentioned it. But the helmet of salvation, you know, makes you think, covering your head, like that death blow to your head mm-hmm. isn't going to happen if you are truly saved. You have that salvation in Christ. And so it's interesting now to think about that, that it describes the helmet.
One, how important the mind is in the Christian life. Like, winning the battle of the mind is one of the greatest battles we fight. We get talk about being renewed, you know, in the spirit of our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, you know, with the word. We talk about guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. So, I mean, it does seem like the mind is such a vital part of who we are. If we win that battle, we often win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the Bible, our minds and hearts are so connected, that concept. But we need a lot of grace to protect our mind and win the battle of the mind during the day, which of course brings us back, like, well, how important is the word of God in this battle?
Right. Which
looky there. Wow.
And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. I feel like we've been, like, it's been there, Lane, all that we've been saying, like, the word of God has been there, you know, because if we're going to have faith in God's promises, where are we going to find out what those promises are? In the word of God. And how are we going to protect the mind, you know, with the word of God? And how are we going to know where salvation is found and have assurance of salvation in the word of God?
Mm.
And so it's incredible that it just brings us out right at the end.
Important
it is.
Pastor Daniel and I were talking earlier because he's listening through Pilgrim's Progress again. And he was talking, he's just finished the part where Christian's fighting Apollyon. And he's, you know, this great fiend, you know, like this satanic type figure. And you know, John Bunyan just masterfully brings out the armor of God in his battle against Apollyon. And he just talked about how, you know, like he wanted to run away, but he remembered he had no armor for his back. Mm. You know, there was nothing for his back, so he had to stand and face the foe, you know. But it also made me think that, you know, out of all of the armor that's described, everything else is more like defensive, but this is our offensive weapon that we have, is the word of God, the sword of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the spirit's sword. Like, so this is, we cannot wield the word of God well without being dependent on the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah, and it just, you think about, you kind of bring out earlier, but, you know, when you have the word of God, and that's why this is one of the reasons why it's so important, you know, it's so important to us, is why we want to talk about it. That's why I want to sound the trumpet for being in the word and for memorizing scripture. And, you know, we just had a sermon, you know, about a lot of that stuff recently, but it's because this is the weapon against the devil. Like, this is a weapon against the spiritual forces of evil that we're actually fighting against. You know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the invisible evil in the heavenly places, and the word of God, to have it with us. all the time, when we, to have it with us when we don't have a Bible in front of us is powerful, you know?
So powerful. One, it just moves my heart even hearing you describe that right now. It's because, you know, we got saints listening to this, and, you know, we just have such a heart for the church. We don't want anybody to get beat down by this enemy, you know? And the thought of not being armed and being able to go on the offensive with the word of God is just a devastating thought, because he doesn't mess around. Like, he kicks people while they're down, and he's ruthless, and he sows so many seeds, and just hate the thought of any member of the flock being just attacked and to be found defenseless without the word. You know, a bit of a side, but on that point, I think one thing that's kind of hopeful too is I just think about, you know, we're all meant to take up this armor, and there is a point in which sometimes we're, you know, one of us is weak while the other one is stronger. And, you know, just like in a battle, you'd come to the aid of your comrade, or they'd come to your aid. And just that idea of how we, in a sense, have to take responsibility. And the safest thing is to make sure that we are taking up the armor ourselves. But praise God that we can shield each other at times, and how we lift up the shield of faith. And you know, if you're a good swordsman, you know, sometimes you can take a few of the enemy at once, you know. And so just the blessing of being able to, in one sense, being in the body with people that are, you know, maybe a little sharper in the word than we are, and they in a sense help us. But there's no way of getting around it. Like, we have to become swordsmen in our own right.
And then verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. So we see, with all prayer and supplication. So we see, again, just capping this dependence on the Spirit. It's like, well, if we have all this armor, why pray? You know, it's because you can't do it. You know, you can't do it on your own. You need the Spirit, like we've been saying. And he's one that empowers all these things to be able to fight this battle.
Yeah, and it's interesting just how, like, he can't help but talk about prayer. Like, prayer is just so vital to the Christian life. It's so vital to spiritual safety and watchfulness and effectiveness. And, of course, the end of the passage beyond our fighter verses goes on to talk about, like, pray for all the saints, but then it talks about praying for Paul that the door for the gospel might be open. He might boldly proclaim it. So the whole point is not so that we can kind of be safe. Like, yes, safe spiritually from the enemy, but so that we can keep making gospel advance, because we want to take ground, you know, in this life. The enemy has had his day. He's got plenty of ground. You know, he's the, quote, God of this world, and keeping many eyes, you know, blinded, and many hearts in bondage. And so for us to recognize, it's vital to being able to set people free, that we live this way and really take God up and all the resources he's given us. And just that part where it says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. A couple quick thoughts. Perseverance. It's one thing to put the armor on one time. Yeah, I wore that one time. It's like, no, it's like every day. I was kind of talking with a few of the brothers this morning, like, you know, it almost feels ritualistic, but just even that, because we are giving such a kind of a picture here, you know. And so it's almost just like you having your hands on your heads, thinking about putting on the helmet, you know, and praying, you know, for the life of your mind, and you know, just each, like, the belt of truth, the shoes, the readiness of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, you know, what else did I miss? Breastplate of righteousness. Don't leave home without that, you know. But the idea that you know, this is something we have to persevere in, like, literally throughout our entire lives. We need to take up the armor of God over and over again, not tire from it. We cannot, it's really unwise and unsafe to go without the armor. So we must persevere in it, and just how important prayer is to perseverance. And it's beautiful for all the saints. So, like, while we're fighting this battle, part of our watchfulness is like, it's not enough for me just to be praying for myself or my family. Right. Like, we need to be crying out to God for all the saints, because we are in the battle together. I totally hogged that last verse, bro. I'm sorry.
No, that's so good. And I like that you brought that out too, about, you know, praying also, you know, in verse 19 for Paul, that words may be given him an opening, his mouth to proclaim the gospel. And I think that kind of brings out exactly what Satan is fighting against. It's about fighting against the spread of the gospel, against not only people being saved, but also our effectiveness in proclaiming it, and in growing as Christians and growing in godliness and Christ-likeness. Like, he's just out there to squash it and use whatever deception and lies he needs to do it. And it's, we need God's help to fight this, you know, to fight this war. And
yeah, we do.
And we need the tools that at our disposal that God's given, you know, the Word of God. Clearly from this passage, other brothers and sisters, like, we just can't do it alone.
Yeah.
We need the body of Christ, and the Spirit empowers those things to actually be able to have victory over Satan.
Mm. It feels fitting, and since it's just the two of us, we should both pray and just cry out to God for him to do these things in us, and for us to take the responsibility of you know, putting this on today and tomorrow. Like, we like singing on Sunday mornings sometimes, you know, ours is armor for the battle, strong enough to last the war.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for inspiring this text in Ephesians 6 to feed our souls, to remind us what we're up against, what we feel so often, but now to be able to put words to it. What a ruthless, wicked enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we are thankful that in Christ we have victory. In Christ, we shall put our foot on his neck in victory at the end of the age, that he will be thrown along with all of his minions in the lake of fire for all the havoc they have wreaked, all the eyes they have blinded, all the lives they have ruined. We thank you, Lord, that our wicked foe will not get the final word. But Lord, we know that he is thrashing about right now. We know that he wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us. He wants to discourage us. And so, Lord, we pray for our own hearts. And we pray, Lord, for the saints. Would you do a work, Lord? Would you help your people to put on the whole armor of God? Oh, God, I pray that you'd forgive us for ways that we are self-reliant in thinking we can really do this by ourselves, not realizing that we're actually being deceived. And we're being weakened in the Christian life, and we're being ineffective, and we are actually playing completely into Satan's hands. So God, forgive us for self-reliance. Forgive us for thinking we can go at this on our own. Would you cleanse us, and would you renew a right spirit with us, and give us a heart to want to take you up at your word. Give us a heart of dependence, Lord, and prayerfulness. Oh, that all the saints would be praying for all the saints. Lord, we just want to be a prayerful, dependent people. Sorry. Teach us to love your word, Lord, to love your word. And you'd help us to become more faithful swordsmen. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we thank you for those that have the helmet of salvation that you've given to us in Christ, that have the shield of faith that you've given to us again in Christ. And we pray that we would never forget those gifts that you've given us for those who are trusting in you. May we take them up each day. May we not neglect them, but remember each day what you've done for us in Jesus Christ, and that we would exercise that faith, that we would remember that salvation, that standing that we have with you, and that from that salvation, we would go and want to spread the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And so we pray, God, that we would depend on your Holy Spirit to work through us, to be a witness to those around us, that we would want to spread this mystery of the gospel to those who do not know you. And we pray that we would recognize that this is a battle against extremely strong foes, against extremely mighty enemies, but the one who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we praise you, God, for that promise. That's something that we can have faith in, that you are greater. And so we pray that you would help us to love you, love your word, to love prayer, to see how important prayer is in our lives, that we would come to you. Our Father who has adopted us as his children, that now we can come to you and pray, and you hear us and you answer us, and you've given us of your Spirit. Lord, these are amazing gifts, and we praise you for them. We pray that these verses would impact our lives, that we would meditate on them more, that they would shape us, that they would shape our hearts, that they would shape our attitudes. It would shape our loves, God. We just pray that you would do a work in our hearts. And as a church, that you would grow us in recognizing these truths, recognizing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of the evil in the heavenly places. We just pray that we would come to you over and over, recognizing that we need you, and that we would find these promises in your word to hold to that will last. So we thank you for these promises and pray that you would do a mighty work. Continue to work in us, God, that which is pleasing in your sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.